If I said to you that the frenetic pace of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's travels, inaugurations, foundation stone laying, and speech making in distant places marks the launch of the campaign for the general elections, you would most certainly ask me, what's wrong with you? So what's the big deal? Don't we all know the campaign is on? After all, the elections are just weeks away. Good question. Good point. Except the campaign we are talking about is not for 2024. That the Modi Shah BJP takes as signed, sealed, locked in its vault. The campaign we are talking about is for 2029. And that is not only because we already have the evidence of public statements by two BJP stalwarts. First, Defence Minister Rajnath Singh said in Darbhanga in Bihar that voters should take a pledge to elect Narendra Modi not just for a third but also a fourth term for India to end poverty. Then Home Minister and BJP chief playmaker Amit Shah said at a media conclave that the opposition should now be making plans only for 2034 onwards. Now add the two and two and it means that Narendra Modi will be in the contest for an unprecedented consecutive fourth term in 2029. In case you are among those who still harbor the illusion that there is a 75-year retirement age in the BJP, see the fielding of Hema Malini in Mathura for a third term at little over 75 plus, in fact. He'll be 76 later this year. If you ask BJP people, they will ask you, whoever told you there was an age limit? Nevertheless, her nomination at 75 is as clear an indication as you can get that there is no 75-year cutoff. And if she can contest at 75 plus, who would grudge Modi at 79, which is how old he will be in 2029? He would still be about 2 years younger than Joe Biden today and 2 years older, just 2 years older than Donald Trump today. If one of them can be the US president at that vintage, why not Modi? In any case, when did age limits work in politics? Even the Chinese communists who had instituted strict age limits to make their leadership younger have rewritten the rules for Xi Jinping. This tempts me to bring back to you that incredibly brilliant line Dharmendra's character, one of a trio of double-crossing crooks, spoke in the film Johnny Gadar, 2007 release, when one of his younger comrades expressed surprise that he did such wild things even at his age. It isn't about age, he said. It's the mileage. The leaders with mileage believe they can go on forever. Think Xi, Biden, Trump, going ahead Erdogan and Putin. And now we have sufficient evidence to say Modi. You will see a Narendra Modi campaign for a fourth term in 2029 for sure. That is based on facts as they exist now. Even more than the words of Amit Shah and Rajnath Singh, we find evidence in how and where Modi is campaigning for now and what he's saying. The time and energy he's investing in Tamil Nadu and Kerala, for example. All the skeptics, even DMK leaders, when they speak on the sidelines, admit that while the BJP may not win any seats by itself, its vote percentage will go up substantially. Some estimates taking it to 15 to 17%. It may not get you even one seat this time with that percentage, but once you reach that range, and the momentum is with you, you are in the game in 2029. The history of family-run parties in India tells us that by the time the third generation takes over, they lose much power. You can start from the Congress, Nehru Gandhis for example, and list all the rest, all of the other parties where dynasties took control or families took control of the party. Will the DMK under Udayanidhi be an exception? I don't know. All we know is that we have data from the history of all of the other parties which dynasties took over, that by the third generation, there is a definite, steep and decisive decline. If the BJP only looks at the way things have gone for the rest, they will see a wide space opening up for them in Tamil Nadu, especially with the other claimant to Dravidianism, the AIADMK already divided and on the ropes, and Congress, if anything, is a mere appendage to DMK, at least for now. Believers in the DMK argue that it isn't just about a dynasty, but ideology, which they believe will survive any individuals. In real life, it has never worked in Indian politics as yet, particularly when dynasties take over ideological parties. In fact, Forget ideology. Even religion has not been able to arrest a dynasty-led decline. You can check out the Shiromani Akali Dal, India's only fully religion-based party, fully and formally religion-based party. Its head is mandated by its constitution. Its chief is mandated by its constitution to be a baptized Sikh. Think about it. From what it was before it became a dynastic party to where it is under its second generation now. That's why we see Modi's campaign in Tamil Nadu now as a pitch for 2029 when he sees the BJP as at least the second leading party. Kerala brings other opportunities for him. Track the consistent outreach from the BJP to the state's Christians, whose committed vote is essential for the Congress-led United Democratic Front or UDF and its politics. There are old suspicions between the Christians and the Muslims, the other essential UDF vote bank in Kerala. If even some of the Christians move to the BJP, the Muslims will move to the left as they see the Congress slash UDF in decline. The BJP will then have plenty of space. It is in anticipation of this that Modi is campaigning now and also recruiting leaders who would have been expected to be in the Congress instead, like the son and daughter respectively of two former Congress chief ministers, A.K. Antony and K. Karunakaran. This is his campaign in Kerala for 2029. If you take a closer look at the BJP's flurry of alliance making, a long-term pattern is clear. Today, the BJP is carefully choosing allies already in decline with a poor negotiating position whose decline can then be hastened as it moves into their space. We'll explain to you how. In fact, we can give you an entire list to show a clear pattern with no exceptions. In Assam, the BJP won the 2016 elections in alliance with the Assam Gan Parishad, AGP, and the Bodoland People's Front. In that election, though, BJP did not get a majority of its own. It was an election fought in alliance, pre-poll alliance. In the subsequent Bodoland Tribal Council election, however, the BJP dumped the BPF and found another tribal ally in United People's Party Liberal, UPPL, led by Pramod Boro. The first one, BPF, was led by Hagrama Mohilari. A much weakened BPF returned to the fold in 2022, the NDA fold in 2022, while the AGP was also now a pale shadow of itself, today with just 9 MLAs. A similar pattern followed in Bihar. The BJP used Chirag Paswan to weaken Nitish Kumar. In fact, he put up candidates in the assembly elections only against the JDU, looking to defeat them or if not so, weaken them greatly. And he also called himself Modiji's Hanuman so that no doubt will be left as to what he was doing. Now the BJP was trying to break away the JDU's MPs, leaving Nitish no choice other than defecting back to the NDA. I use that expression defecting back with great care. By 2029, you can imagine what the state of JDU will be. If anything, it will already emerge much weaker this summer. This is exactly how the alliance making is panning out in Andhra. A weaker TDP is likely to weaken under the third generation in 2029, and that is the partner the BJP is speaking with now. And further on in Haryana, where Dushyant Chautala's JJP is nearly finished, in fact, the BJP might not even offer it one seat in Lok Sabha election. And why should it? Because last time it won all the seats in Haryana and by sizable margins. Even in Maharashtra, where one old ally, the Shiv Sena, is dismembered, while the new acquisition, the breakaway NCP, has no future without the BJP. If you add it all up, you will know why we say that the Modi BJP campaign for 2029 is already on. What can the opposition do? Watch this space in the coming weeks.